Hello everyone, my name is Stephen Jimenez, and I'd like to welcome you all to our radio documentary series, Teenage Kicks. In this episode, we will discuss the topic of relationships. I first spoke to Rosie Reynolds, chaplain at a local secondary school.
When we're talking about young people, I would be most involved with people in the secondary school level. So as they enter first year, young people, they have a lot going on. Family were their core and the centre of the relationships up to this point. Now they're launched into the secondary school system. It could be the first time for boys and girls mixing together. They might have went to a single sex primary school. Life can be tough for a young person. A number of things that I've I've noticed in my work. First of all, every young person needs a sense of belonging. And now, normally for a person, that sense of belonging comes from their family. But because of the changes in society, social changes, economical changes, and the multicultural society that we live in, sometimes that sense of belonging can be a bit diluted. You have the whole thing about social media, you have the whole thing about relationships. So the whole relationship things kind of hits a new curveball when it hits secondary school. What I would find from experience in relation to relationships is it can get more complicated as the teenage years progress. The whole idea in relation to personal identity, who am I and what am I like as a person? Am I attracted to boys? The present climate we talk, are we attracted to girls? We have same-sex unions. You have the whole idea in relation to transgender and sexual identity. All of those things are out there. Family life can change as well for teenagers. Expectations at home, teenagers might now become the babysitter at home. Teenagers might be more responsible for different chores and jobs around the home. So all of a sudden that's different. In relation to teenagers themselves, they might see themselves or view themselves as different. They want to be more independent. They might want their own money to do their own things. They might want their own time. One of the biggest challenges at that age group is maybe teenagers retreating into their own private time for relationships. They might become more withdrawn, more quiet. Again, this can cause challenges in the home. Parents wonder, am I doing something wrong? Should I be leaving them in their room, in their own private space, or should I be trying to engage them? I think for the benefit of everybody, that family time, no matter what type of family, whether we're a single parent, whether we're a double parent, whether we're same-sex union, family time is very important through teenage life. The effort for the old style Sunday dinner where everybody sits around the table and has a chat, if that is all that can be achieved in the week, it's very important for relationships. Everybody needs to feel included and wanted. We have our own interests, we have our own challenges. Teenagers are spending more time out of the home, they're away with their friends, maybe uptown or whatever. But I said to you, try and grab that family time where you sit around the table. Could be takeaway on a Saturday night, it could be Sunday dinner. Breakfast time is usually hectic, as is lunchtime. The only thing I'd say with relationships, very important to have people in your life. An awful lot of people just try and relate, maybe through social media, to people. The lines of communication need to be kept open. So that's really, really important. The other thing that features kind of in relationships would be your relationships with teachers in secondary school particularly. Very important, this relationship, that young people are encouraged to be their best self, to develop their talents, to feel comfortable in their own skin. And to feel, yes, I have a unique part and I'm important in this world. Coaches in relation to sports teams, in relation to maybe your hobbies, they're very important and valuable people as well. Again, it should be all in the form of encouragement and enthusiasm. One of the best things I ever learned in all the research that I ever did is that you can never praise and encourage a child enough. So forget about the big-headedness, just tell them all the time that they're wonderful.
In your opinion, does the SPHE programme in both junior and senior cycle need reform?
At the minute, we have this new Junior Cert Schools programme. It's an initiative that it was introduced 2 years ago with the English curriculum, and now it's gradually hitting all subjects. As part of that initiative, the whole concept of whole school wellbeing became very important. This also fits in with the present climate in relation to the awareness of mental health. The SPHE programme is now going to be incorporated into a subject called wellbeing and CSPE. Again, religion will link in with this as well. So we're talking about the care care of the whole person. The physical health, the emotional health, the mental health and the spiritual health. So I think that those changes in the coming years will benefit. I think in relation to senior cycle, there mightn't be actually still in some schools an SPHE programme. So again, religious education programmes or the role of the guidance counsellors and the chaplains in the school are very valuable in relation to this personal and health education.
Do you feel that there are enough supports for young people in the area of relationships? And do they help if relationships deteriorate within a young person's life?
As I said, throughout life, it's not just, basically it's not to do with young people. Throughout a person's life, we also can face challenges due to deterioration relationships, as you said there, or due to loss, due to changes in relationships. In the present climate, separation, divorce, ill health, any of these things can provide challenges. In relation to professional services, services for under 18s are very limited. Again, school support services like counsellors and chaplains are very important. In relation to care of young people now, there's an awful lot of stuff in relation to safeguarding and child welfare, which people who are involved in clubs, they have to do training in that whole area. At the end of the phone, you have your services like Childline and Samaritans, which are there for children to use at all times. An awful lot of GP services now would have links with counsellors. In Dundalk, we have our Oakdean counselling services, also the other fabulous services of places like SOSAD. So they are there. A lot of them, the numbers are available on social media, but what I would say, definitely your GP would be the first port of call if somebody is needing some kind of professional help. There's always someone there. It could be a practice nurse in your GP that could sit and listen to you and maybe give you some advice.
Is there enough emphasis on the whole idea of sexual education in secondary school?
Just in relation to the SPHE programmes, as it exists in secondary schools at the minute, one element of the SPHE programmes would be RSE. Now, RSE stands for Relationships in Sex Education. This actually kicks off in primary school, where the children would basically be introduced to the basics of sex education. As they go through secondary school, it goes into much more detail. The whole area in relation to relationships and boy-girl relationships, same-sex relationships, sexual identity in relation to and sexual orientation. The other things which are very topical at the minute, which will be covered in that area, would be in relation to the whole area of maybe sexual harassment and rape. As the child, male or female, progresses through secondary school, these issues would be dealt with in a confidential setting in classrooms. There's programmes that teachers would have been trained in to deliver these programmes. Very important for the young person to be informed. In relation to relationships, whether it's same-sex relationships, whether it is heterosexual relationships, I think it's very, very important for the young person to be as secure as they can in their own footing. To remember that they're important in the relationship, not to be persuaded to do anything maybe that they're unsure of, to be safe in their own skin. And also, as I said, in relation to parents and teachers, not to be afraid to ask questions if they're unsure about information. An awful lot of young people get their information on the internet. But again, as I said, in relation to these courses in school, people are very well educated and they can find out the answers. The whole area of LGBT is getting very popular, again getting an awful lot of media coverage. So again, the whole area of sexual orientation is going to be big in Ireland, not just in schools. In relation to people having equality of rights, never mind what their sexual orientation is, but in relation to their religious orientation, their gender, all that kind of stuff, again, it's going to feature a lot, I think, in the future in relation to personal well-being and in relation to mental health.
What, in your view, does a person need for a positive relationship?
First of all, for a positive relationship, the person needs to feel that they are being listened to. I think the person needs to realise that they are respected. That's very much, I think, the physical side in the relationship. I think people get caught up, especially today, in what you look like on the outside. This is huge for young people, you know. In the male, I have to have the six pack. I have to be on a high protein diet. For the female, I need to have the smallest waist and the biggest hips that's possible. On top of this, I have to wear all the designer clothes. What's important is what's on the inside. You might look great on the outside, but do the people you are with or do the relationships that you have in your life make you feel, yes, I belong, make you feel, yes, I'm important, and yes, I make a difference.
It's very clear that Rosie gave us a lot to think about there. Following this interview, I then went on to speak to Sandra, youth coordinator from the Dundalk Outcomers Centre.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you very much for having me here. As you said, my name is Sandra, and I work as a youth worker in Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual and Transgender Community Center in Dundalk, which is one of the three only LGBT-specific services in Ireland. And as I said, my role is a youth worker, actually youth coordinator, which means that I work directly with young people who identify as LGBT. And I work with them through our drop-in services here in Dundalk, mainly.
From working as a youth coordinator within LGBT, do you feel that young people are reluctant to speak to you initially?
That's a very interesting question and very complex question. I'll try to answer. We find that young people have no problems being who they are once they come to our center. So we run a safe space where young people are not really questioned or challenged when it comes to their sexual orientation or gender identity. We really facilitate the space where young people can be who they really are, whatever that means for them in that moment. So they feel very safe to come and talk to us about any issues related to their gender identity or sexual orientation. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that it's an easy thing to come to our center, because it does require a lot of courage. It does require, first of all, coming out and recognizing that you're part of this community, accepting that, and then coming to our space is affirming and confirming that. So it's a big statement. It's a statement of I accept who I am and I'm showing this to the other people. For some of the young people, we are the first place where they come and say this, that they are part of this community. For some of the people, we are last place. And for them, for those people who come last to us as a last resort, their journey has been very challenging. They either suffered from not being accepted at their homes or not being able to say who they are, or they suffer bullying in school and general homophobic or transphobic bullying in the society.
Is homophobic bullying still seen as an issue in the LGBT experience today?
Unfortunately, yes. I will quote one young person here. We all remember 2015 and marriage equality referendum, and we talk about it as a big historic change in LGBT activism and LGBT rights. But there's one young person said, the fact that we had marriage equality did not eliminate or erase homophobic bullying. And I always go back to that, because particularly in last year, most of our issues with the young people that I work with were related to homophobic bullying and incidents. And some of them were on the streets of Dundalk, some of them were in the marshes, but some of them were in schools. And it can be as innocent as saying, that's so gay. You know, that's so gay is still being seen as homophobic bullying, because it usually means something negative or something that should be mocked or slagged. So when you say that's okay, even though you don't mean an insult, people see that as an insult. So that is still, once that is raised, there will be no homophobic bullying. But as long as that's there, there will be issues around homophobic bullying.
In your opinion, do secondary schools have a role to play in how LGBT is viewed?
that's a question, a big question. I think because young people spend so many years in schools, of course, for sure, schools have a responsibility and a great platform to play in how we talk about the LGBT community or LGBT identities, and how are we supporting people that are coming from any minority, specifically from this one. I have to say that in our experience, most of the schools that we work with are very supportive, and they're very open to work with us and with the parents and with the young people. However, in the general picture, I think every school should be more inclusive of any minority. And that means education across the board. It means teachers, curriculums, education of students, so having you know, campaigns, posters, whatever that means, just to encourage the visibility and the change in the language and the perception of the of this community in particular.
What you're saying is it should be a whole school approach.
Yes, definitely, because we see young people as a holistic, you know, mind, body, soul people that, you know, the most information they get is the information from the school. So if the whole school can support any student, that would be the best place.
Would it be normal practice for you to get a referral from a school for a student?
Yeah, it would be, yes. We would get a lot of referrals from schools, specifically when it comes to a transgender student. So for a student who feels like they were not born in the correct gender. Because that requires a lot of support and a lot of arrangements around the name change, around the school uniforms, and how is that student going to be supported throughout the remaining school, education schools years. So yes, we would get a lot of referrals from schools, but mainly with the transgender related issues.
Would it be common for parents to contact you because they feel worried or concerned about their children?
Yeah, I have to say Outcomers really works with anyone who has any issue or concerned, yeah, around the LGBT community, and in particular with parents, because we find the parents need the most support. We find that young people have either the resources or resilience or enough information to accept who they are, and we find that their peers and their friends are very happy to see them for who they really are and to support them and accept them, but parents need a bit more time. And we try to facilitate that either through one-to-one support or, you know, referring them to other services or just trying to find another parent who has been through a similar issue and have that support from a parent who has been through the same journey as they might be going through.
If a student was interested in getting in touch with you because they want to discuss LGBT, how could they go about it?
The best way is to find us on Facebook. The easiest, even though I really don't like social media. The other option is to email us at youth@outcomers.org. And it's, you know, you can be as anonymous as possible. We try to answer any queries. And you can also contact me directly on my phone number, which is 086-162-5030. And I have WhatsApp, so you can just send a short chat asking for any information. And if you feel confident enough, we, for anyone who is under 18, we have a drop-in group on Fridays between 4 and 7 and on Saturdays between 3 and 5. And it's really, we kind of try to call it a queer place now. And I know that can cause a lot of questions. Why do we call it a queer place? But it is a place where young people decided to call it a queer place because there is such a diverse there's so many diverse identities there, and everyone is just free to be who they really are, and they're celebrating that. So it's a really safe space for you to just come and be who you really are.
Sandra, thank you very much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
Is there anything further you'd like to add?
Well, I would like to say that Outcomers is open 20 years this year, and even though I'm here to talk mainly about the young people, we do support people or LGBT community that's older than 18. So I would just say whoever has any kind of question or any needs any support in this area, we are here to help.
From speaking to Sandra, she gave us a very good insight into the whole idea of LGBT. We then spoke to Kevin Moran, manager of the Dundalk Youth Centre, and I asked him about young people and relationships.
I think that relationships is something that's kind of changed, and the development of relationships has changed, particularly in the last, say, 5 years, where the whole process of young people being in relationships has completely changed. And again, this is probably because of the whole online and Facebook and texting and all this kind of stuff. And we in the youth service have had to try and modify our, you know, relationships programs to help young people get the most out of their relationships, but also to identify where issues are starting to form in relationships. Like we saw some problems where we've seen particularly young girls being in very bad relationships and not having the assertiveness, knowledge or skills to be able to take control of those relationships for themselves and be able to modify them or get out of them if they needed to get out of them. So we've tried to, in the youth centre, build programmes around trying to develop an awareness of what a relationship should be, what you should get out of a relationship, but also when you setting your own boundaries as to what is acceptable for you and what maybe isn't acceptable for you.
Kevin, throughout the show we spoke to youth coordinator from the Outcomer Centre, Sandra. Would you yourself be aware of any young people that would attend Dundalk Youth Centre who would also attend the Outcomer Centre?
Yes, there'd be a number of young people, both who would be lesbian, gay, and some young people who would be transgender, who'd be attending the Youth Centre who are also members of Outcomers.
Kevin, what advice would you give to young people regarding relationships in modern day Ireland?
I would say to them is to firstly have a look at themselves and say it has to start with their own identity, and to try and make sure that they are confident and have secure and safe boundaries as to what they want from a relationship, and then to be honest and open with any person and treat them with respect who they're having a relationship with, and then expect that from them as well. And if you do that, then you should be okay.
Thanks, Kev. From speaking to Rosie, Sandra and Kevin, we have received a clear view on what adults working with young people think surrounding the whole idea of relationships. In 2018, in modern day Ireland, relationships are very widespread, both through social media and in reality. Throughout the whole series, we have only understood the views of adults. However, my next aim is to speak to the young people and ask them what they think. If any parents, adults working with young people, or youths themselves are looking for any advice in the area of relationships, spunout.ie offers some very good tips on positive relationships and other topics revolving around this issue. Before we go any further, we would like to say a major thank you to the people we've interviewed in this episode of our documentary series, Rosie Reynolds, Kevin Moran, and Sandra. I thought it would be appropriate to leave the last word of this episode with the young people. So here they are, expressing their views around the topics on relationships. We first asked the young people about their opinion on LGBT.
Well, from things I've heard, people don't really have a problem with it. It's not that they hate it, but it's not like they love it. But a lot of people would probably look at it like, oh, well, that's a bit weird or something, when it's not really, like, if it's not affecting you, it shouldn't really bother you.
Yeah, I think, like, people kind of just go at the beginning, oh, it's a bit weird, but then they kind of get over it.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. There's definitely not much more of a stigma going around, and it's not really looked down on anymore. It's kind of, people are more open to letting people do what they want themselves.
Yeah, I think people are definitely, like, a lot more willing to be themselves. Like, people do judge, but it's more of a limited number. Everyone's more accepting now.
I think it's a lot more accepted than it used to be, but, like, you're still going to get the odd person who isn't as accepting of it, and they might not, like, be as nice to you then, but, like, I feel like it's, like, generally it's okay and people aren't really concerned about it anymore.
I feel like nowadays it's normalised, and if you are, it's like no one is judging you. You know, we talk about it quite often, and it's just something that's completely normal in today's world.
We then ask young people about parental involvement in their relationships.
I think it really does depend on the parent. A lot of parents could be more laid back, and they don't really mind if their child has a relationship, or even if it's just a short-term one or a long-term one. But then, like, you'd also get parents who think, like, you shouldn't have a relationship until a certain age and stuff like that.
Well, parents are obviously, like, the most important people and influential people in a teenager's life, so they definitely have a good amount of input on whether or not you're allowed in a relationship. But I think it just kind of depends on what the parent thinks of whoever you're going out with. Like, if they think they're a good influence, most parents, I think, are pretty accepting of it.
I feel like most parents aren't really accepting of it at such a young age. They feel like you're getting too, like, grown up or too serious too quick. But, like, at the end of the day, it's your relationship, it's not your parents.
I think most parents kind of just leave it because they know it'll just blow over eventually.
I feel like your parents do still want to get very much involved in your personal life and like who you're with, just to make sure you're safe out of your own concern. But I feel like there's a lot less taboo around it. I feel like there's a lot more, your own person now, and see how it goes.
I feel like in general parents don't mind if you're in a relationship or not. Most have trust in their kids, so if they are going out with someone, they trust them that they're making the right decision for themselves.
Yeah, well, it depends on parents and on the kids, like if they have enough trust in them on that.
We then asked the young people about their knowledge of contraception.
I haven't been taught about it, but you still know about it. And, it's not an uncommon thing for young people to talk about. So, everyone still knows about it, even though we haven't been taught about it.
In biology, it would be more taught about due to, the reproductive system. But that's more just for the curriculum than our education on it for personal life. But not really. It's not a very concentrated on topic in school.
It's never really brought up in school, but I am aware of it. I'm not oblivious to it. There's a thing called the internet. I'm not oblivious.
Yeah, it's you don't really hear about it in school, but through friends and stuff, you know about it.
At school, there's no talk about contraception. I feel like a lot of people learn it from the internet and their own parents. There's definitely no talk of it in school.
I think contraception is taught through biology more so than SPHE. Teachers tend to skip over it, and also through friends telling you about different stuff which could be right or wrong.
We then asked young people about the general question on what they thought of relationships.
I think it kind of depends on the person, but people our age are a lot more open to relationships than I think people used to be. It's more of a normal thing if you hear someone you know is in a relationship.
I think that young people aren't really sensitive to them in the sense that they're quite common, but a lot of people just have a relationship for the sake of it, and they're just trying to say that they have a relationship, if you know what I mean.
I feel like people jump into them really quickly. We're still young, we have our whole lives ahead of us, and people are jumping into a year-long, two-year-long relationships when they're not really knowing what's going on in them, if you get me, they're not really ready for it.
I think relationship is up to the person and who they are, but also I think some people might be pressured into relationships because all their friends could be in different relationships.
From speaking to all the young people throughout this documentary, we have definitely learned about the issues affecting young people in modern day Ireland. We've discussed many issues on this series: smoking, alcohol abuse, drugs, legal highs, alternatives to drugs, bullying, and relationships. All I can say is a major thank you to everyone that has helped in every aspect of this show. Both John Englishby, Dr. Alison Lennon for helping me produce the show, and Paul O'Neill for his amazing work as sound engineer and editor of the programme. And especially the young people who came in on nights after school during their TY year to come in and participate in special workshops, many of which are the voices you've heard throughout all our series. I'd also like to thank the management and staff at The Lurk FM for their professional courtesy, help and support in the making of this documentary series. So as we have said throughout the series, at the end of every episode, it's bye from me, Stephen Jimenez. We'll be back with another documentary series very soon.
Listening to Teenage Kicks, which was presented by Stephen Jimenez. The production supervisors were John Englishby and Dr. Alison Lennon. The sound engineer was Paul O'Neill. Many thanks to all the young people who took part in the documentary. Thanks also to all the contributors who gave of their time. In order of appearance, Rosie Reynolds, Chaplain, St Mary's College, Dundalk. Sandra Goyich from the Dundalk Outcomers Centre and Kevin Morn, Youth Leader at Dundalk Youth Centre. This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television licence.